Sherlock Holmes. We present Sherlock Holmes, or The Strange Case of Miss Alice Faulkner, by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and William Gillette, adapted in two parts by Roger Johnson. Part 2, The Triumph of Sherlock Holmes. After his visit to Edelweiss Lodge, where Miss Faulkner has been kept in the uncertain care of Jim and Madge Larrabee, Sherlock Holmes is not surprised to learn that the Larrabees have consulted a master criminal, the notorious Professor Moriarty. Nor is he surprised to receive a visit from the professor, a visit that ends in stalemate. Holmes's next meeting promises to be even more perilous.
Very soon, Watson, I shall receive an offer from Larrabee to sell me the package of letters. He will indicate that Miss Faulkner has changed her mind and has decided to get what she can for them. He will offer to meet me. Come in, Billy.
Letters, sir. Most important letter, sir.
Unless I am greatly mistaken, the said communication is at hand. Read it, Watson, there's a good fellow. My eyes, you know. Cocaine and all those other things you like so much.
Dear sir.
Who thus addresses me?
James Larrabee.
What a surprise. And what has James to say this evening?
Dear sir.
I hope he won't say that again.
I have the honour to inform you that Miss Faulkner has changed her mind regarding the letters, etc., which you wish to obtain, and has decided to dispose of them for a monetary consideration. She has placed them in my hands for this purpose, and if you are in a position to offer a good round sum and to pay it down at once in cash, the entire lot is yours. If you wish to negotiate, however, it must be tonight at the house of a friend of mine in the city. At 11 o'clock you will be at the Guards Monument at the foot of Waterloo Place. You will see a cab with wooden shutters to the windows. Enter it and the driver will bring you to my friend's house. If you have the cab followed or try any other underhand trick, you won't get what you want. Let me know your decision. Yours truly, James Larrabee.
Now, see if I have the points. Tonight, 11 o'clock, Guards Monument, cab of wooden shutters. No one to come with me, no one to follow cab, or I don't get what I want.
Quite right. But this cab with the wooden shutters...
No little device to keep me from seeing where I am driven. Billy?
Yes, sir?
Who brought the letter?
It was a woman, sir.
Yeah. Old or young?
Oh, very old, sir.
In a cab?
Yes, sir.
Seen the driver before?
Yes, sir. But I can't think where.
Give this note to the old lady. Apologise for the delay, and look at the driver again.
Yes, sir.
My dear Holmes, you didn't say you would go.
Certainly I did.
But it is the counterfeit.
The counterfeit is just what I want.
Why so?
Because with it I shall obtain the original. Mademoiselle.
But this fellow means mischief.
This fellow means the same. Now, be so good, mademoiselle, as to listen to every word. Tonight at 12 o'clock I meet Mr. Larrabee and purchase from him the false bundle of letters to which you just now heard us refer as you were listening at the keyhole of that door.
Oui, monsieur.
I wish Miss Faulkner to know at once that I propose to buy this package tonight.
I will tell her, monsieur.
That is my wish. But do not tell her that I know this packet and its contents to be counterfeit. She is to suppose that I think I am buying the genuine.
Ah, oui, monsieur, je comprends. When you purchase, you think you have the real.
Precisely. One thing more. Tomorrow evening, I shall want you to accompany her here. Sir Edward Layton and Count von Stahlberg will be here to receive the package from me. However, you will receive further instructions as to this in the morning.
Oui, monsieur.
Foreman.
Yes, sir?
A change to your beggar disguise, number 14, and go through every den in Wapping and Limehouse. Don't stop till you get a clue to this new partner of the Larrabees. I must have that. I must have that.
Very well, sir.
If you please, sir, there's a man waiting at the street door, and he says he must speak to Mr. Foreman, sir, as quick as he can.
You better have a look at that man, Billy. Show him up.
He can't come up, sir. He's watching a man in the street. He says he's from Scotland Yard.
I'd better see what it is, sir.
No. Well, take a look at him first. Be ready for anything.
Trust me for that, sir.
Billy, see what he does.
Yes, sir.
This is becoming interesting.
It is indeed. One moment, my dear fellow.
Yes, sir?
Mr. Foreman, is he there still?
No, sir. He's gone.
That's all.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Now, Holmes, tell me what you propose to do with that counterfeit package, which you are going to risk your life to obtain.
I intend, with the aid of the counterfeit, to make Miss Faulkner willingly hand me the genuine. I shall accomplish this by a piece of trickery and deceit, of which I am heartily ashamed. It's too bad. She's rather a nice girl, Watson.
Oh, nice girl. Then you think that possibly...
I beg pardon, sir. Mr. Foreman's just sent over from the chemist's on the corner to say his head's paining him a bit. And would Dr. Watson kindly step over and get him something to put on it?
Yes, yes, certainly. I'll go at once. That's odd. It didn't look like anything serious. I'll be back in a minute, Holmes.
Billy?
Yes, sir?
Who brought that message from Foreman?
Boy from the chemist, sir.
Yes, of course, but which boy?
Well, must have been a new one, sir. I ain't never seen him before.
Quick, Billy, run down and look after the doctor. If the boy's gone and there's a man with him, it means mischief. Let me know, quick. Don't stop to come up. Ring the doorbell. I'll hear it. Ring it loud. Quick now.
Yes, sir. Mr. Holmes!
It is a dangerous habit to finger loaded firearms in the pocket of one's dressing gown.
You'll be taken from here to the hospital if you keep that hand behind you, Professor. That's better. In that case, the table will do quite as well.
You evidently don't know me.
On the contrary, I think it is fairly evident that I do. Pray take a chair, Professor. I can spare you 5 minutes if you have anything to say. Ah, what were you about to do?
Dear me, Mr. Holmes, I merely wish to consult my watch.
I'll tell you when the 5 minutes is up.
All that I have to say has already crossed your mind.
Then possibly my answer has crossed yours.
You stand fast?
Absolutely.
You are bold, sir. I tell you it is the boldness born of ignorance. Do you think that I would be here if I had not made the streets quite safe in every respect?
Oh, no. I could never so grossly overestimate your courage as that.
Do you imagine that your friend, the doctor, and your man, Foreman, will soon return?
Possibly not.
So it leaves us quite alone, doesn't it, Mr. Holmes? Quite alone. So that we can talk the matter over quietly and not be disturbed. In the first place, I wish to call your attention to a few memoranda which I have jotted down, which you will find...
Look out! Put your hands down.
Why, I was merely about...
Well, merely don't do it. If you want your memorandum book so badly, we'll have someone get it for you. I always like to save my guests unnecessary trouble.
Doesn't it occur to you that your boy may have been detained, Mr. Holmes?
It does. But I also observe that you are in very much the same predicament.
I beg pardon, sir. Someone tried to hold me, sir.
It's quite evident, however, that he failed to do so.
Yes, sir. He's got my coat, sir, but he hasn't got me.
Billy.
Yes, sir.
The gentleman I am pointing out to you with this revolver wishes to get something out of his left-hand coat pocket. As he is not feeling quite himself today, and the exertion might prove dangerous, suppose you attend to it.
Yes, sir. Is this it, sir?
Quite so. Put it on the table. No, a little further away from the gentleman, if you please, Billy. That's more like it.
Shall I see if he's got another gun, sir?
Why, Billy, you surprise me, after the gentleman has taken the trouble to inform you that he hasn't.
When, sir?
When he made a snatch for this one. Now that we have your little, memorandum book, Professor, is there anything else you'd like before Billy goes? Any little thing? No. Oh, I'm sorry, that's all, Billy.
Thank you, sir.
Rather a rash project of yours, Professor, even though you have made the street quite safe in every respect. To think of using a firearm so early in the evening and in this part of the town.
Listen to me, Holmes. On the 4th of January, you crossed my path. On the 23rd, you incommoded me. And now, at the close of April, I find myself placed in such a position through your continual interference that I am in positive danger of losing my liberty.
Have you any suggestion to make?
No. I have no suggestion to make. I have a fact to state. If you do not drop it at once, your life is not worth that.
I shall be pleased to drop it. After Monday.
Why then?
Because by then, Professor, you will be under arrest. I'm afraid, Professor, that in the pleasure of this conversation, I'm neglecting more important business.
I came here this evening to see if peace could be arranged between us.
Ah, yes, I saw that. That's rather good.
You have seen fit not only to reject my proposals, but to make insulting references coupled with threats of arrest.
Quite so. Quite so.
Well, you have been warned of your danger. You do not heed that warning. Perhaps you will heed this.
Here. I didn't suppose you'd want to use that thing again, so I took the liberty of removing the bullets. Ah, Billy.
Yes, sir?
Show this gentleman nicely to the door.
Yes, sir. This way, sir.
We shall meet again, Mr. Holmes.
Billy.
Yes, sir.
Billy, you're a good boy.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Everything in order. Tax turned off. No smell of gas. No.
Hello, Cregan.
Leary, what are you doing here?
I was sent, wasn't I?
I thought McTague was with me in this job.
Wait, I am.
Oh, right.
Here, Cregan, who was the last you put the gas on?
I never heard his name. He'd been holding back money on a haul out some railway place.
Ah, right. What's today's job, then?
I ain't been told.
Well, as long as it's here, we know what it's likely to be.
Does either of you blokes know if this is the place where I meet Alf Bassett? From what you say, I take it you don't.
Bassett? Never heard of him.
Oh, that's all right then. Nice old place to find this here is. And when you do find it, can't say it's any too cheerful. Mind if I smoke?
Here, no matches. It ain't safe.
If it ain't asking too much, what's the matter with this place? Looks all right to me.
Yeah, we don't like no matches and it will stay looking the same.
Oh, Prince, you're here, good.
Just as you told me, Mr. Bassett.
Very well. Is everything in order, Craig?
It is, sir.
Have you, Lily?
Here, sir.
Good. You must be on your mettle tonight. You've got a tough one.
You ain't said who, as I've heard.
Sherlock Holmes.
You mean that, sir?
Indeed I do, Craig.
I'll be damn glad to put the gas on him, I tell you that.
I say the same myself.
Shh! Professor Moriarty's coming.
Not the governor.
Yes, he wanted to see this.
Where's Craig? In
here, Professor.
There must be no mistakes tonight.
I'll be careful of that.
Very well. Mr. Larrabee here has some business to conduct with our guest. Then you can start your work. What's behind that door, Bassett?
Oh, a small cupboard, sir.
No outlet?
None whatsoever, sir.
That window?
Nailed down, sir.
A man might break the glass, Bassett.
If he did, he'd come against some very heavy iron bars outside.
We'll have him tied down before he could break any glass, sir.
Ah, you've used it before, of course. You know if it's airtight?
Every crevice is sealed, sir.
Ah. When the men turn the gas on him, they leave by that door?
Yes, sir.
It can be made quite secure.
Heavy bolts on the outside, sir. Solid bars overall.
Let me see how quick you can operate them.
Oh, they tie the knot down, sir. There's no need to hurry.
Let me see how quick you can operate them.
Really?
Yes, sir.
That's all. Cregan, you and Leary will wait outside the door until Mr. Larrabee has had a little business interview with the gentleman. You'd best go up the passage to the left so that Holmes does not see you as he comes in. Who's driving the cab tonight, Bessie?
I sent Ivan. His orders are to drive him for about an hour so he doesn't know the distance or the direction he's going. And then to stop at the small door on Upper Swandon Lane. He's going to get him out there and show him to this door.
The cab windows were covered, of course.
Wooden shutter, sir. Bolted and secure. Isn't a place he can see through the size of a pin.
Bessie, we must have a lamp here.
Better not, sir. There might be some gas left.
You've got a light there.
It's a safety lamp.
A safety lamp? You mustn't have that here. The moment he sees that, he'll know what we're doing and make trouble. There's hardly any odour of gas. Go and tell Alaska we must have a good lamp. Now remember, no shooting tonight. Not a single shot. It can be heard in the alley below. The first thing is to get his revolver away before he has a chance to use it. One of you must attract his attention in front. The other will come up on him from behind and snatch it out of his pocket. Then you have it. Arrange that, Cregan.
I'll attend to it, sir.
Here you are, Professor. Lily, you better put out the safety lamp.
Bastard, what we wanted when the other's taken away.
All right, but he mustn't see it, understand?
Don't put it out. Cover it with something. Yes, that box.
Right.
Oh, that will do.
You mustn't stay any longer, sir. The Cregan might be a little early.
Mr. Larrabee, you understand? They wait for you.
I understand, sir.
I give you this opportunity to get what you can for your trouble, but anything that's found on him after you have finished is subject to the usual division.
That's all I want.
When you have quite finished and got your money, suppose you blow that little whistle which I observe hanging from your watch chain. And these gentlemen will take their turn. And Cregan.
Yes, sir?
At the appropriate moment, present my compliments to Mr. Sherlock Holmes and say that I wish him a pleasant journey to the other side.
You better put that rope out of sight, Cregan.
I'll take it, Mr. Larrabee. Now, you understand, sir? We'll be just round the far turn of the passage, so he won't see us if he's coming up.
I understand.
And it's when we hear that whistle, eh?
When you hear this whistle...
Look here, Jim. This sort of thing ain't so much in my line.
I suppose not.
When it comes to a shire safe or drilling into bank vaults, I feels perfectly at home, but I don't care so much to see a man. Well, it ain't my line.
Here. All I want of you is to go down on the corner below and let me know when he comes.
How will I let you know?
Have you got a whistle?
Oh, certainly.
Well, when you see O'Hagan driving with him, come down the alley there and blow it twice.
Yes, but ain't it quite likely to call a cab at the same time?
What more do you want? Take the cab and go home.
Oh, then you won't need me here again.
No.
Oh, very well. Then I'll tear myself away.
You? What do you want?
It's true, then.
How did you get to this place, Miss Faulkner?
I followed you in a cab.
What have you been doing since I came up here? Informing the police, perhaps?
No. I was afraid he'd come, so I waited.
Oh. To warn him, very likely.
Yes. To warn him.
Then it's just as well you came up.
I came to make sure...
Of what?
That something else is not going to be done besides what they told me.
Ah. Somebody told you that something else was going to be done.
Yes.
So, we've got another spy in the house.
You're going to swindle and deceive him. I know that. Is there anything more?
What could you do if there was?
I could buy you off. Such men as you are always open to sale.
How much will you give?
The genuine package. The real one. All the proofs. Everything.
Have you got this with you?
No, but I can get it.
Oh. So you'll do all that for this man? You think he's your friend, I suppose?
I haven't thought of it.
Look what he's doing now. Coming here to buy those things off me.
They're false. They're counterfeit.
He thinks they're genuine, doesn't he? He'd hardly come here to buy them if he didn't.
He may ask my permission still.
No. He won't get the chance.
Then there is something else.
Something else. I'm just going to talk to him on a little business.
Where are those men who came up here?
What men?
Two villainous-looking men. I saw them go in at the street door.
Oh, those men. They went into the next building.
I'll look in the passageway, if you please.
Yes, but I don't, please.
You wouldn't dare to keep me here.
I might dare, but I won't. You'd be in the way.
Where are those men?
Stay where you are, and you'll see them very soon.
Well, who's this thing?
I knew it. You're going to do him some harm.
Oh, no, Miss Faulkner. It's only a little joke. At his expense.
You wanted the letters, the package I had in the safe. I'll get it for you. Let me go and I'll bring it here. I'll give you my word not to say anything to anyone. Not to him. Not to the policeman. Not to anyone.
You needn't take the trouble to get it. But you can tell me where it is. And you'll have to be quick about it, too.
Yes. If you promise not to go on with this.
Of course. That's understood.
You promise?
Certainly I promise. Now where is it?
Just outside my bedroom window. Just outside on the left, fastened between the shutter and the wall. You can easily find it. Now tell them to go.
Tie her up so she can't make a noise. Keep her out there until we have Holmes in here. And then let O'Hagan keep her in his cab. She mustn't get back to the house. Not until I've been there.
Go get a hole, Cleary. Hand me a piece of that rope.
Now then, my pretty bird.
You said if I told you.
Well, we haven't done him any harm yet, have we?
Then send them away.
Certainly. Go away now, boys. There's no more work for you tonight.
They don't obey you. They're...
Now, out of the door with her.
My God, he's here.
What?
That's it, Prince. I put him on the watch.
We won't have time to get her out.
Shut her in the cupboard.
Yes, that'll do.
In with her, dearie.
Here, Larrabee, there's no lock on this here door.
No lock?
No.
Drive something in.
Here, this knife.
A knife won't hold it.
Yes, it will. Drive it in strong.
Quick, back in the passage.
Right you are.
Here you are, quick then.
How the devil is it that you crooks always manage to hit on the same places in your scoundrelly business? Well, I suddenly thought after all this driving about in a closed cab you'd show me something new.
Seen it before, have you, Mr. Holmes?
Well, I should think so. I nabbed a friend of yours in this place while he was trying to drop himself out of that window. Ned Colvin, cracksman.
Colvin? I never heard of him before.
No? Well, you certainly never heard of him after. A brace of counterfeiters used these regal chambers in the spring of 90. One of them hid in that cupboard. We pulled him out by the heels.
Ah, did you? And the other?
The other? He was more fortunate.
Ah, he got away, I suppose.
We took his remains out through that door and down to the street.
Fascinating. But times have changed since then.
So they have, Mr. Larrabee, so they have. Then it was only cracksmen, counterfeiters, and petty swindlers of various kinds. Now?
Well, what now?
Well, between you and me, Mr. Larrabee, we've heard some rather disagreeable rumours. A murder or two of a very peculiar kind, and I've always had a suspicion... One moment. Ah, my surmise is correct. This room is sealed.
What's that to us?
Nothing to us, Mr. Larrabee, nothing to us, but it might signify a good deal to some poor devil who's been caught in this trap.
Well, if it's nothing to us, suppose we leave it alone and get to business. My time is limited.
No, of course. I should have realised that these reflections would not appeal to you. But you see, I take a deep interest in anything that pertains to the criminal classes.
And I am rather curious to know how you happened to select such a gruesome place for an ordinary business transaction.
I selected this place, Mr. Holmes, because I thought you might not be disposed to take such liberties here as you practiced in my own house last night.
Indeed. But why not?
You might not feel quite so much at home.
No, you're wrong there. I feel perfectly at home, Mr. Larrabee. Perfectly.
May I offer you a cigar?
No, thank you.
There's yours.
Here's the little packet, which is the object of this meeting. I haven't opened it yet, but Miss Faulkner tells me everything is there.
Then I don't need to open it, Mr. Larrabee. Miss Faulkner's word is sufficient.
Very well. Now, what shall we say, Mr. Holmes? Of course, we want a pretty large price for this. Miss Faulkner is giving up everything. She would not be satisfied unless the results justified it.
Suppose, Mr. Larrabee, that as Miss Faulkner knows nothing whatever about this affair, we omit her name from the discussion.
Who told you she doesn't know?
You did. Everything you have said and done since I've been in this room tells me that she's never consented to this transaction. It is a little speculation of your own.
Ha! I suppose you think you can read me like a book.
No, like a primer.
Well, let that pass. How much shall you give?
£1,000.
I couldn't take it.
What do you ask?
5,000.
I couldn't give it.
Very well. We've had all this trouble for nothing.
Oh, don't say that, Mr. Larrabee.
Why? I've been offered 4,000 for this little...
Well, why didn't you take it?
Because I intend to get more.
Well, that's too bad.
If they offered 4,000, they'll give 5.
They won't give anything.
Why not?
They don't think so to me.
Will you give 3,000?
Mr. Larrabee, strange as it may appear, my time is limited as well as yours. I have brought with me the sum of £1,000, which is all I intend to pay. If it is your desire to sell at this figure, kindly say so at once. If not, permit me to wish you a very good evening.
Go on. You can have them. It's too small a matter to haggle over. Oh, I thought you said you had bought just 1,000.
I did. This is it.
You brought a trifle more, I see.
Quite so. I didn't say I hadn't brought any more.
Ha! You can do your little tricks when it comes to it, can't you?
It depends on who I'm dealing with. Here you are. £1,000 exactly.
Thank you. And I'll take these as well.
Now I've got you where I want you, Jim Larrabee. You've been so cunning and so cautious, we couldn't find a thing to hold you for. But this little slip will get you in for robbery.
Oh, you'll have me in, will you? And do you think you'll even be able to get yourself away from here?
I shall very shortly leave here, and your arrest will very shortly follow.
My arrest? Why, even if you got away from here, you haven't got a witness. Not a witness to your name.
I'm not so sure of that, Mr. Larrabee. Do you usually fasten that door with a knife?
Come away from that door!
Miss Faulkner. Larrabee, you contemptible scoundrel, what does this mean?
Damn you, I'll show you what it means.
I'm afraid you're badly hurt, Miss Faulkner.
Mr. Holmes, look.
Ah, Cregan, delighted to see you. It appears that I am not dealing with Mr. Larrabee alone.
Your inference is quite correct, Mr. Holmes.
It is not difficult to imagine who is at the bottom of such a conspiracy as this. I hope you're beginning to feel a little more yourself, Miss Faulkner, because we shall leave here very soon.
Oh, yes. Do let us go, Mr. Holmes.
You'll have to wait a bit, Mr. Holmes. We have a little matter of business we'd like to talk over.
All right, Craig, I'll see you tomorrow morning in your cell at Bow Street.
Ah, very sorry, sir, but it can't wait till morning. It's got to be settled tonight.
All right, Craig, we'll settle it tonight.
Oh, it's so very important, Mr. Holmes. So very important indeed that you'll have to attend to it now.
Mr. Holmes, look out!
Have you got his revolver, Leary?
Here it is.
Ah, Leary, it needed only your blithe personality to make the party complete. There is only one other I could wish to welcome here, and that is the talented author of this midnight carnival. We shall have him, however, by tomorrow night.
He ain't here, Mr. Holmes, but he give me a message for you. He presented his kindest compliments and wished you a pleasant trip to the other side.
That's very kind of him, I'm sure.
You're writing your will, I suppose.
No, only a brief description of you, gentlemen. For the police, you know.
And when will you give it to them, Mr. Holmes?
9 and 9.5 minutes, Mr. Lyra.
Oh, you expect to leave here in 9 minutes, eh?
No, in one. It would take me 8 minutes to find a policeman. This is a dangerous neighborhood.
Well, when you're ready to start, let us know.
I'm ready now.
Wait a bit. You'd better listen to me, Mr. Holmes. We're going to tie you down nice and tight to the top of that table.
Well, by Jove, I don't think you will, Craigie. That's my idea, you know.
And you'll save yourself a deal of trouble if you submit quiet and easy-like. Of course, if you don't, you might get knocked about a bit.
Mr. Holmes.
Come away from me, Miss Faulkner. Come over here if you don't want to get hurt.
My child, if you don't want to get hurt, don't leave me for a second.
Aren't you coming?
No.
You better look out, miss. He might get killed.
Then you can kill me too.
I'm afraid you don't mean that, Miss Faulkner.
Yes, I do.
No, you would not say it at another time or place.
I would say it anywhere. Always.
If you're going to be awkward, Miss Rhodes, I'll have to treat you rough. Same as I did your right-hand man this afternoon.
Ah, you heard him say that. Same as he did my right-hand man this afternoon.
Yes, yes.
Don't forget that face. In 3 days, I shall ask you to identify it in the prison's dock.
Oh!
You surprise me, gentlemen, thinking you're sure of anybody in this room and never once taken the trouble to look at that window. If you had wanted to make it perfectly safe, you should have had those missing bars put in.
What?
Bars or no bars, you're not going to get out of here as easy as you expect.
There are so many ways, Mr. Larrabee, I hardly know which to choose.
Well, you better choose quick, I can tell you that.
I'll choose at once, Craigie, and my choice falls on this.
Where is he? I can't see. Let's have some light, for God's sake.
The safety then. Where is he? Where is he? Devil. Where is he gone?
You'll find that cigar in a crevice by the window. Goodbye, gentlemen.
Damn him! Damn him!
Yes, Doctor?
Ah, Parsons. I have an appointment at 9 o'clock with Mr. Holmes in Baker Street. It's 8:15 now. I'm going to walk over through the park.
Very well, sir.
Oh, all right. I won't see any more patients tonight. They must go to Dr. Anstruther.
Yes, sir. I shall say so, sir. If you please, sir, it isn't a patient at all, sir.
Well, what is it?
A lady, sir.
Oh?
And she wants to see you most particular, sir.
What does she want to see me about?
She didn't say, sir. Only she said it was of the most utmost importance to her, if you could see her, sir.
Is she there in the hall?
Yes, sir.
Very well, Parsons. Tell her I'll see her. Call a cab for me at the same time. Have it wait.
Yes, sir. In here, madam.
Oh, Doctor, it's awfully good of you to see me. I know what a busy man you must be, but I mean, such trouble. Oh, it's really too dreadful. You'll excuse my troubling you in this way, won't you?
Don't speak of it, madam.
Oh, thank you so much, for it did look frightful, my coming in like this, but I'm not alone. Oh, no, I left my maid in the cab. I'm Mrs. H. David Seaton. Oh, I must have mislaid my card case.
Don't trouble about a card, Mrs. Seaton. Please take a seat.
Oh, thank you. You don't know what I've been through this evening, trying to find someone who could tell me what to do. It's my brother. My poor dear younger brother. He couldn't have done such a thing. He simply couldn't.
Such a thing as what, Mrs. Seaton?
As to take the plans of our defences at Gibraltar from the Admiralty offices. They think he stole them, Doctor, and they've arrested him for it. You see, he works there. He was the only one who knew about them in the whole office because they trusted him so. He was to make copies and... Oh, Doctor! It's really too dreadful.
I'm very sorry, Mrs. Seaton.
Thank you so much. He's just the one, and there's hardly any time left. They'll take my poor brother away to prison tomorrow. Now, what would you advise me to do?
I'd go to Mr. Holmes at once.
But I've been, and he wasn't there.
You went to his house?
Yes, in Baker Street. That's why I came to you. They said he might be here.
No, he isn't here.
But couldn't you get him to come? It would be such a great favour to me. I'm almost worn out with going about it, with this dreadful anxiety. If you could get word to him to come.
I could not get him to come, madam, and I beg you to excuse me. I am going out myself on urgent business.
Oh, certainly. Don't let me detain you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Please show the lady out, Parsons.
Well, good night, Doctor.
that, Parsons? An accident, I think, sir. Out in the street.
Oh, dear. I do hope it isn't anything serious.
Nothing more than a broken-down cab. See what it is, Parsons. There's the bell. There's somebody hurt, Doctor, and they're wanting you. Well, don't allow anybody to come in. I have no more time. Very well, sir. The Doctor can't see anybody.
But they're coming in, Doctor.
They will bring him in, sir. It's an old gentleman as was hurt a bit when the cab upset.
Parsons. Parsons.
This way, sir. Be careful of the steps, sir. That's it. Yeah, that's it. Careful. Right.
What have you got a red lamp hanging outside your blooming door for?
Yes, let him stay.
Let them put him on the couch and send at once for Dr. Anstruther.
Yes, sir.
Help him in, Parsons. If you would be so good as to step this way, you can reach the hall by taking the first door on your left.
But I may be of some use, Doctor.
None whatever. Kindly leave.
Oh, but Doctor, I must see the poor fellow. I really must.
Madam, I believe you have some ulterior motive in coming here. You will kindly...
Now, over to this chair.
I will go in here. You'll see the doctor and it'll be all right.
No, it won't be all right.
A accident. You can't help a accident.
Yes, you can.
Oh, he was on the wrong side of the street. I turned up to try
and get... No, in this chair, sir.
No, I'll sit here. Don't I know where I want to sit?
You'll sit here. Now, the doctor will have a look at you. Here's the doctor.
That isn't a doctor.
Yes, it is. Here, doctor, will you come and have a look at this old gent? He's hurt himself a little and...
Wait.
Well...
Are you the driver?
Yes, I'm the driver.
Well, I'll have you arrested for this.
Arrested?
Arrested.
You can't arrest me.
I can't. Somebody else can.
Here, now sit down, will you?
You are a very disagreeable man. I wonder you're able to live in the same house as yourself. Are you a driver?
No, sir.
Well, what are you?
I'm the butler, sir.
Butler? Butler?
He's the doctor's servant.
Who asked you who he was?
Never mind who asked me, I'm telling you.
Well, go and tell somebody else.
Oh, sit down here. Sit down and be quiet.
Oh, dear. Have a cab ready for me, Parsons. I must see if he's badly hurt. Yes, sir.
Where's my hat? My hat!
Never mind your hat.
I will mind my hat and I hold you responsible.
Here's your hat in your hand.
Yeah, that isn't my hat. Here, you're responsible for all this. I'll have you arrested.
Oh, I can't stand round here, you know. Someone will only be pinching me.
Here, come back! Bring your cab in here! Ugh! Why didn't somebody stop him, this cabman? What did he bring me in here for? But I know where I am. It's a conspiracy. I won't stay in this place if I get back there out of here alive.
Parsons, take that cabman's number. Now, sir, if you'll sit quiet for one moment, I'll have a look at you.
Hello, Watson, don't let her get to that window.
Come away from there, Mrs. Seaton. Oh. Is that you, Holmes?
Quite so.
What do you want me to do?
That's all. You've done it. You stopped Mrs. Larrabee from reaching the window.
Mrs. Larrabee? But look out, Holmes. She can get out that way.
I don't think so, my dear fellow. Cigarettes. I'm glad to see you to keep a few prescriptions carefully done up.
I've got her, sir.
Good heavens. The cab driver, is that Foreman?
Yes, that's Foreman, all right. Has Inspector Bradstreet come with his men?
Yes, sir. One of them is in the hall there, holding her. The others are in the kitchen garden. They came in over the back wall from Mortimer Street.
Very good. Watson, my dear fellow, as you doubtless gather, we are making the arrests. The scoundrels are hot on my track. To get me out of the way is the one chance left to them, and I'm taking advantage of their mad pursuit to draw them where we can quietly lay our hands on them, one by one. We've made a pretty good haul already. 3 last night in the gas chamber, 7 this afternoon in various places, and 1 more just now. But I regret to say that so far the Professor himself has not risen to the bait.
Where do you think he is now?
In the open streets, under some clever disguise, waiting for a chance to get it.
And was this woman sent in here to...
Quite so. A spy. To let them know by some signal, probably at that window, that she found me in the house. You know, it might not be such a bad idea to try the Professor with that bait. Foreman.
Yes, sir?
Bring that Larrabee woman back in here for a moment. And when I light a fresh cigarette, let go your hold on her, carelessly, as if your attention was attracted to something else. Get hold of her again when I tell you.
Very well, sir.
And now, Watson, we shall see what we shall see. Ah, my dear Mrs. Larrabee. I took the liberty of having you brought in for a moment in order to convey to you my... sincere sympathy in your rather unpleasant predicament.
It's a lie. It's a lie. There's no predicament.
I'm charmed to gather, from your rather forcible observation, that you do not regard it as such. Quite right, too. Our prisons are so well conducted now. Many consider them quite as comfortable as most of the hotels. Quieter and more orderly.
How the prisons are conducted is no concern of mine. There is nothing they can hold me for. Nothing.
No, to be sure. There may be something in that. Still, it occurred to me that you might prefer to be near your unfortunate husband. We hear a great deal about the heroic devotion of wives and all that rubbish. You know, Mrs. Larrabee, let me come right down to it.
Ha! Too late!
That's all, Foreman. Pick her up again. Doctor, would you kindly pull the blind down once more? I don't care to be shot from the street.
It's too late, I tell you. The signal's given. You'll hear from him soon.
I rather think I shall hear from him now. Well, Billy?
He's just come, sir.
From where?
The house across the street. He was in there watching these windows. He must have seen something, for he's just come out. There was a cab waiting in the street for the doctor, and he's changed places with the driver.
Has he, by Jove?
They're all in it, sir, and they're relaying to get you in that cab when you come out, sir. But don't you do it, sir.
On the contrary, sir. I'll have that new driver in here, sir. Get out again quick, Billy, and keep your eyes on him.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Capital. Now, Watson, can you let me have a heavy portmanteau for a few moments?
Yes, of course. Parsons, my large Gladstone, bring it here.
Yes, sir.
I'm afraid it's a pretty shabby looking...
No, you don't, madam.
Thank you, Mrs. Larrabee, but your first signal is all that we require. By it, you informed your friend Moriarty that I was here in the house. You now know that he is impersonating a driver, and that it is my intention to have him in here. You wish to signal that there is danger. There is danger, Mrs. Larrabee, but we don't care to have you let him know it. Take her out, Foreman. Make her comfortable and happy.
Come along now.
Fine woman.
The Gladstone back, sir.
Put it down there. Thank you so much. Parsons, you ordered a cab for the doctor a short time ago. It has been waiting, I believe.
Yes, sir, I think it has.
Be so good as to tell the driver, the one you'll now find there, to come in here and get a portmanteau. See that he comes in himself.
Very good, sir.
Surely he won't come in.
Surely he will. It's his only chance to get me into that cab. He'll take almost any risk for that. In times like this, you should tell your man never to take the first cab that comes on a call. Nor yet the second. The third may be safe.
But in this case...
My dear fellow, I admit that in this case I have turned it to my advantage. But I speak for your future guidance.
This way, cabbie. In here.
Well, goodbye, old fellow. I'll write to you from Paris. I hope you'll keep me fully informed of the progress of events. As for these papers, I'll attend to them personally. Here, my man, just let me tighten up these straps a bit.
Yes, sir.
There are a few little things in this bag that I wouldn't like to lose, and it's just as well to... Who's out of the window?
Hey!
Please don't struggle, Professor. These handcuffs are of the American type. The mechanism is quite secure. A doctor, will you kindly strike a bell two or three times in rapid succession? Thank you. Ah, Foreman.
Yes, sir?
Got a man there with you?
Yes, sir. The inspector came in himself.
Ah, the inspector himself. We shall read graphic accounts in tomorrow's papers of the spectacular arrest he made at Dr. Watson's house in Kensington. Take him out, Foreman, and introduce him to the inspector. They'll be pleased to meet. Wait, let's see what he wants.
Do you imagine, Sherlock Holmes, that this is the end?
I ventured to dream that it might be.
Are you quite sure the police will be able to hold me?
I'm quite sure of nothing, Professor.
Ah. I have heard that you're planning to take a little trip, you and your friend here. A little trip on the continent.
And if I do?
I shall meet you there.
That's all, Foreman.
This way, Professor.
I shall meet you there. You will change your course. You'll try to elude me. But whichever way you turn, there will be eyes that see and wires that tell. I shall meet you there, and you know it.
Did you hear that, Watson?
Yes, but surely you don't place any importance on
such... No importance, but I have a fancy that you spoke the truth.
We'll give up the trip.
It would be quite the same. What matters it here or there, if it must come? Watson, my dear fellow, it's too bad. Now that all this is over, I suppose you imagine that your room will no longer be required. Let me assure you that the worst is yet to come.
The worst to... Why, good heavens, Holmes. We've barely 5 minutes.
For what?
To get to Baker Street. Your rooms. Your appointment with Sir Edward and the Count. They were to receive that packet of letters from you.
They're coming here.
Here?
That is, if you will be so good as to permit it.
Certainly, but why not there?
The police wouldn't allow us inside the ropes.
Police? Ropes?
Police, ropes, ladders, hose, crowds, fire engines.
Why? You don't mean...
Quite so. The devils have burned me out.
Good heavens. Burned you? Oh, that's too bad. What did you lose?
Everything. Everything. I'm so glad of it. I've had enough. This one thing ends it. This one thing that I shall do here in a few moments is the finish.
You mean Miss Faulkner?
Watson, she trusted me. She clung to me. There were 3-1 against me. They said, come here. I said, stay close to me. And she did. She clung to me. I could feel her heart beating against mine. And I was playing a game. A dangerous game. But I was playing it. It'll be the same tonight. She'll be there. I'll be here. She'll listen. She'll believe. And she'll trust me. And I'll be playing a game. No more. I've had enough. It's my last case.
And then?
And then.
My dear Holmes, I'm afraid that plan of gaining her confidence and regard went a little further than you intended.
A trifle.
For her? Or for you?
For her. And for me.
But if you both love each other...
Love? Love is an emotional thing, and whatever is emotional is opposed to that true cold reason which I place above all things. No. No, I must cure her. I must stop it now, while there's time. She's coming here.
She won't come alone.
No, Thérèse will be with her. When she comes, let her wait in the next room, and see to it that the door is not quite closed.
Very well. I'll use the medical dictionary as a doorstop. May I ask why?
I wish her to overhear.
I see.
Sir Edward and the Count are very likely to become excited. I shall endeavour to make them so. You must not be alarmed, old fellow. She may be there now. I'll go to your dressing room, if you'll allow me, and brush away some of this dust.
By all means. My wife is in the drawing room. Do look in on her a moment. It will please her so much.
My dear fellow, it will more than please me.
The young lady, sir, wants to know if she can speak to you. If there's anyone here, she won't come in.
Any name?
No, sir. I asked, and she said you wouldn't know her. She has a maid with her, sir.
Then it must be... Show her in.
Very good, sir.
And Parsons?
Sir?
2 gentlemen, Count von Stahlberg and Sir Edward Layton, will call. Bring them here to this room at once, and then tell Mr. Holmes. You'll find him in my dressing room.
Yes, sir.
Send everybody else away.
Yes, sir.
I'll see the young lady.
In here, miss.
Is this Dr. Watson's room?
Yes, and I'm Dr. Watson.
Would you mind telling me if Mr. Sherlock Holmes, is here?
He will be before long, Miss...
My name is Alice Faulkner.
Miss Faulkner. He came a short time ago, but has gone upstairs for a few moments.
Oh, and is he coming down soon?
Well, the fact is, Miss Faulkner, he has an appointment with 2 gentlemen here, and I was to let him know as soon as they arrived.
Do you suppose I could wait, without troubling you too much, and see him afterwards?
Why, certainly.
Thank you, and I don't want him to know that I came.
Of course, if you wish. There's no need of my telling him.
It's very important indeed that you don't, Dr. Watson. I can explain it all to you afterwards.
No explanation is necessary, Miss Faulkner.
Thank you. I suppose there is a waiting room for patients?
Yes, or you could sit in the little parlour there. You'll be less likely to be disturbed.
Yes, thank you. I think I would rather be where it's entirely quiet.
Then step this way. I think the gentlemen have arrived.
And when the business between the gentlemen is over, would you please have someone come tell me?
I'll tell you myself, Miss Faulkner.
Thank you.
Count von Stahlberg, Sir Edward Layton.
Thank you, Parsons. That'll be all. Count, Sir Edward.
Dr. Watson, good evening.
Here, Doctor.
Our appointment with Mr. Holmes was changed to your house, I believe.
Quite right, Sir Edward.
Mr. Holmes is a trifle late.
He has already arrived, Count. I have sent for him.
It was quite a surprise to receive his message an hour ago, changing the place of meeting. We should otherwise have gone to his house in Baker Street.
You would have found it in ashes, Sir Edward.
What? Really? The house? The house burnt?
Burning now, probably.
Well, I'm very sorry to hear this. It must be a severe blow to him.
No, he minds very little.
Really? I should hardly have thought it.
Did I understand you to say, Doctor, that you had sent for Mr. Holmes?
Yes, Count, and he'll be here shortly. Indeed, I think I hear him on the stairs now.
Gentlemen, pray be seated.
Well, Mr. Holmes?
Our business tonight can be quickly disposed of. You were notified to come here this evening in order that I might deliver into your hands the packet which you engaged me, on behalf of your exalted client, to recover. Let me say, in justice to myself, that I continued with the work only because I had promised to do so. For the sake of that promise, I pursued the matter to the very end. And now I have the honour to deliver the packet into your hands.
Permit me to congratulate you, Mr. Holmes, upon your marvellous skill you have displayed and the promptness with which you have fulfilled your agreement. Oh, this isn't right.
No.
Look at this, no. Count. Surely it's not right. The people in the photographs. The handwriting. Mr. Holmes, what does this mean?
Mean, Sir Edward?
These letters and these other things. Where did you get them?
I purchased them last night.
Purchased them?
From whom, if I may ask?
From whom? From the parties interested, by consent of Miss Faulkner.
You have been deceived.
What?
This packet contains nothing. Not a single letter or paper that we wanted. All clever imitations. The photographs are another person. You have been duped, with all your supposed cleverness. They have tricked you.
Most decidedly duped, Mr. Holmes.
Why, this is terrible.
Terrible? Do you mean, sir, that you may not be able to recover the real papers?
It's quite true.
After your positive assurance, after the steps we have taken in the matter by your advice, why, this is just beyond...
Surely you do not mean there is no hope of it?
None whatever, Count. It is too late now. I can't begin all over again.
Why, this is scandalous. It is criminal, sir. You have no right to mislead us in this way, and you shall certainly suffer the consequences. I shall see that you are brought into court to answer for it, Mr. Holmes. It will be such a blow to your reputation.
There is nothing to do, Sir Edward. I am ruined. Ruined!
He's not ruined, Sir Edward. It is entirely owing to him and what he said to me that I now wish to give you the real...
One moment, please, Miss Faulkner. Allow me. Gentlemen. I notified you in my letter of this morning that the package should be produced at 9:15. It is barely 14 minutes past, and this is it. This is the real thing.
Oh. Excellent.
Admirable, Mr. Holmes. Oh, it's all clear. Really, marvellous. Yes, upon my word.
Now, take this back, Miss Faulkner. Take it away from me, quick. It is yours. Never give it up. Use it only for what you wish.
What? We are not to have it?
Timmy!
No, you are not to have it.
But, my dear sir,
this is outrageous. Your agreement...
I break it. Do what you please. Warrants, summons, arrests will find me here. Watson, get them out. Get them away.
I'm sure, gentlemen, that you will appreciate the fact...
Wait a moment, Dr. Watson. Here is the package, Sir Edward.
Miss Faulkner, no.
Yes, I much prefer that he should have them. Since you came to me that night and asked me to give them to you, I have thought of what you said. You were right. It was revenge.
We are greatly indebted to you, Miss Faulkner.
To be sure.
And to you, too, Mr. Holmes. If this was part of the game...
Yes, sir.
Well, it was certainly an extraordinary method of obtaining possession of the valuable papers. But we won't quarrel with the method... As long as it has accomplished the desired result. Eh, Count?
Certainly not, Sir Edward.
You only have to notify me of the charge for your services, Mr. Holmes, and you will receive a check. I have the honour to wish you a good night. Miss Faulkner? Dr. Watson?
Your servant, Fräulein? Herr Doctor?
If you will permit me, gentlemen, I shall see you to your carriage.
Now that you think it over, Miss Faulkner, you are doubtless beginning to realise the series of tricks by which I sought to deprive you of your property. I couldn't take it out of the house that night like a straightforward thief, because it could have been recovered at law, and so I resorted to a cruel and cowardly device to induce you to relinquish it.
But you did not give it to them.
No, I prefer that you should do as you did.
What?
You see, Miss Faulkner, it was a trick, a deception, to the very end. Your maid is waiting.
And was it a trick last night, when they tried to kill you?
I went there to purchase what I knew to be the counterfeit package, to use as you have seen.
And did you know I would come?
No. But it fell in with my plans, notwithstanding. Now that you see me in my true light, Miss Faulkner, we have nothing left to say but good night and goodbye, which you ought to be very glad to do. Believe me, I meant no harm to you. It was purely business. For that, you see, I would sacrifice everything. Even my supposed friendship for you was a pretense, a sham. Everything. Everything that you...
I don't believe you.
Why not?
From the way you speak. From the way you look. From all sorts of things. You're not the only one who can tell things from small details.
Your faculty of observation is somewhat remarkable, Miss Faulkner. And your deduction is quite correct. I suppose, indeed I know, that I love you. I love you. But I know as well what I am and what you are. I know that no person such as I, seared, drugged, poisoned, should ever dream of being a part of your sweet life. It would be a crime for me to think of such a thing. There is every reason why I should say goodbye and farewell. There is every reason...
No reason. No reason at all.
You have been listening to Sherlock Holmes or The Strange Case of Miss Alice Faulkner by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and William Gillette. Adapted for radio by Roger Johnson. You heard Jim Crozier as Sherlock Holmes, Dave Hawkes as Dr. Watson, and Cyril Bagshaw as Professor Moriarty, with Beth Walters as Madge Larrabee, Simon Thomas as James Larrabee, and Catherine Toakley as Alice Faulkner. Sidney Prince and Billy were played by Mark Preston, Foreman, Thomas Leary, and Count von Stahlberg by Vince Webb, Therese by Lindsay Lloyd, Alfred Bassick by Ivor Jevons, Sir Edward Layton by Jesse Powis, Parsons by M.J. Elliott, and Jim Cragin by Brian Adrian. The play was recorded by David Booth at Pigpen Studios for Hozzyprog Productions. Technical presentation was by John Rhodes and David Booth, and the producer was Roger Johnson. This production is dedicated to the memory of Dennis Rocard.